The racially charged rally, resulting in violence and loss of life in Charlottesville, Virginia, has left the nation looking yet again for explanations of how we got here and where we may be headed. Let's consider the possibilities with Dr. James Peterson, Director of Africana Studies and Professor of English at Lehigh University, and host of the WHYY podcast Remix. Professor, thanks for joining us again on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Fair to define this as a watershed moment?
I think for a lot of people watching, they'll think of it as a watershed moment. I tend to resist that a little bit. I'm not as shocked and surprised as many people are looking at Charlottesville this past weekend. To me, this is almost the logical consequence of the kind of toxic, racialized political discourse that we've had over the last several years. And we certainly have seen iterations of intense racialized violence over the last several years. Some of that has to do with police violence, but it's hard for me to forget what happened at Emmanuel AME Church just a couple of years ago. And so within that context, maybe watershed is a little bit of an overstatement in the sense that if we've been really paying attention to the racial tea leaves of the United States of America over the last several years, this kind of behavior, this kind of animus, and this kind of hatred has certainly been present.
I was watching on network TV this morning an interview with one of the injured victims of the car crash in Charlottesville. His shirt read, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." Toward what end, though? What form of activism or response is appropriate?
Well, I think there are a lot of responses that are appropriate for this particular situation. I agree with that T-shirt in the sense that I challenge people who are outraged and surprised to think a little bit more deeply about the systemic nature of racism in this country. So it's easy for us to look at Charlottesville and say, hey, we're not Nazis. We're not the KKK. We're not Confederate flag wavers. There was a popular hashtag on social media that said, "This is not us," where white folks were saying, hey, we're distancing ourselves from those folks over there. To me, that's too easy. This is us. This is the United States. This is a feature of the United States. And the problem around these super sensationalized racial incidents is that, unfortunately, sometimes they prevent us from seeing the fact that there is everyday systemic racism in this nation. It may not be as spectacular as the awful tragedy in Charlottesville, but discrimination is consistent. Racial disparities in wealth, in income, in access to health care, in education, in our prison industrial complex, criminal justice system. I mean, those things are all present all day, every day. It's hard to see those every day. And so this is easier, this is more tangible for folks. But people should remember that these things are inextricably linked. And we shouldn't allow these awful sort of moments to deter for us the long sort of sustained work that's required to address issues of systemic racism in our nation.
Professor, a feature of the United States that clearly goes back centuries, but in 2017, do white supremacists, neo-Nazis, the KKK, and other extremist right-wing groups, are they all collectively in a position to influence U.S. policy going forward?
Well, they've been influential in U.S. policy for my entire life. The Republican Party has operated on the Southern strategy, which is a strategy that uses race as a leverage to secure white voting blocks across the South. They've used that over the course of my entire life. President Reagan launched his campaign from the region where Emmett Till was lynched. The whole phrase "dog whistle politics" indicates that these things have been around and been present for a long time. So they've been shaping the political rhetoric for some time now. I think what's distinct in this moment is that the folks who follow and support Trump have to concede the fact that there is some overlap at the core of their base with these extremist groups. And when you look at Steve Bannon in the White House, Sebastian Gorka in the administration, Stephen Miller in the White House, these are gentlemen who have directly espoused white nationalist principles. They try to code them sometimes, sometimes not, but those folks are in the presidential administration. And so the time for shock is, I think, a little, we're beyond that. The time to be appalled or disgusted, I think we're a little bit beyond that. We need to be calling for the removal of those folks from the Trump administration on a regular basis, and we need to engage a new sense of vigilance about the everyday systemic racism that's the context out of which these racial incidents emerge.
Let's consider this quote from President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The presidency is preeminently a place of moral leadership. In your opinion, has Trump abdicated that responsibility?
I don't think that this president was ever invested in any kind of moral leadership. And I think his supporters have to acknowledge the fact that given what was unearthed over the course of his campaign, given all the different sort of moral benchmarks that he deviates from in terms of conservative politics, you know, multiple marriages, the kind of language he uses to describe women, you know, those are things that the old Republican Party would reject because of their alleged stance on moral leadership. Clearly, they dispensed with that in their endorsement of this particular candidate. So I don't think that this president in any way has designs on any kind of moral leadership.
Now only 7 months, though, into his term, is it too little, too late? Or if, for example, among other measures, he showed Steve Bannon the door, would that perhaps represent the beginning of a turnaround?
Steve Bannon, Stephen Miller, and Sebastian Gorka would be the beginning parts of a turnaround. I don't think we're going to see either or any of them dismissed based on this particular issue. You might see some political maneuvering and some reshuffling, but it will never. This administration will never credit a response to this awful situation in Charlottesville as them sort of bending to the will of the American people. But here's what I think is more challenging for this administration, for us as a nation with this administration at the helm. You know, many people wanted to believe that we had moved beyond the era where violent racism was a feature of everyday American life. Those of us who paid close attention to these things knew that these things were still present, but many folks wanted to move beyond. What Charlottesville provides is an opportunity for those folks to check themselves and understand that we have not moved beyond the violence of racism in our nation. And in fact, we have presidential leadership who, at the core of his base, unfortunately, there's great overlap with some of these extremist racialized groups. And in that context, I hope folks feel a sense of urgency about sort of thinking about how we can root out racism in American society.
Let's consider the American attention span in this 24/7 media age. There's a hue and cry when there's a school shooting or a horrible church shooting or an unarmed victim, a minority, is shot by police. And that's top of the news for a day or two or a week, and then it's subsumed. Do you have cause for optimism that this is, again, a watershed moment that might attain a sort of critical mass?
I can only hope. I'm an optimistic person by nature. I can only hope. I want to believe that, but I think it's more important for me to try to train the American eye to think about and be more vigilant about the everyday systemic racism. That's the longer, harder challenge, like the work that we have to do to sort of defeat bias in our institutions and to wrestle with explicit and implicit bias in our workplaces, in education, in our criminal justice system. That's harder work, but to me, that's more important work. There are always going to be these fringe groups, and unfortunately, there are always going to be these sort of loud moments of violent racism in a nation that has never really wrestled with its original sin around race in the first place. But the longer, harder, and to me, more important work, it's not an either-or here either. I think we have to do both, but we do have to think more systemically. That's how you get to the day-to-day sort of practice of how we address bias and racism in our society. So if we can use Charlottesville to inspire a few more people or a few more thousand people or a few more million people to think more critically about race and racism on a day-to-day basis, then yes, I think we need to be about doing that in this particular moment.
Dr. Peterson, thanks so much once again for offering perspective on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. James Peterson, Director of Africana Studies and Professor of English at Lehigh University, and host of the WHYY podcast Remix, focusing on issues at the intersection of race, politics, and popular culture.